I wanted to have a real encouraging, positive sermon. And of course, as they say, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I would think any sermon from God's will is encouraging and is positive. But now, is everything that way? There's a lot of negative and positive, but it's all on how you look at it. But if you will, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7. And I appreciate Brian. I appreciate the Sermon on the Mount. We can't have enough classes on that. Of course, the verse I'm going to look at here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, is just a small part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when we look at these things, you know, Jesus is preparing his disciples before he goes to the cross. And there's no other sermon that's recorded in the Bible that will even begin to match the information and the things taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But just a couple verses that I want to look at as an introduction to our sermon, and that's verses 13 and 14. Verses we're all familiar with. And verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat," or go in. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, just these two verses alone, any preacher, anybody with a little bit of Bible knowledge, you know, could just, you could just preach a complete sermon on what is taught here. Now, obviously, there's talking about the difficulties and the easiness of things, and just by the language there. But that's not really what I want to look at. But as we look at this, what I want to focus on this morning is these three words: few there be. Now, I spoke on this about 5 years ago. So now, if some of you were here 5 years ago, you probably remember. But as Peter said, he was bringing these into our remembrances. So, you know, I got a call yesterday afternoon and said, "I'm going to preach." And I'm like, okay, I'm going to dig up an old sermon and alter it a little bit, make application. Hopefully, we can all benefit from that. But few there be. Now, somebody might say, "You know, Rob, when I read that, I'm discouraged." Now, you can be. We're going to talk about that later. But few there be. Now, when you read what he's talking about here, you understand what the few is. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, the religious world would probably say, you know, everybody's going to be saved. Everybody's God's loving God. He wouldn't send anybody to destruction. I just take him over to Matthew 7 and say, okay, could you explain what this means, few there be? Few there be what? Few there be what? So as Jesus is preparing his followers and teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, what is he doing? He's giving them reality. And later on in that chapter, and even later on even in the book, they're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be difficulties that they have to overcome. And he's letting them know right up front that there's going to be few that are going to be able to take these words and find and be faithful in this way. And there's the contrast. And we'll talk about that later, about the many and the few. So as we look at this morning, I want you to concentrate on few there be. And I want you to concentrate it from a positive standpoint and an encouraging standpoint. We'll see that in just a little bit. But, you know, first of all, God's people have always been a few. As you look at the scriptures and you understand this, you look back at that statement that he made before he died and say, few there be, and you think, even before he said that, there was few, wasn't there? Absolutely. Well, as even we look around the city today, now think about how many people. We were talking yesterday about how much traffic there is, and sometimes on Sunday morning, there's a lot of traffic out, and I'm thinking, oh, that's great. Everybody's going to church. No, not everybody's going to church. They're going to the lake. They're going to the ballpark. So from even an attendance, let's just talk about attending church. We're not talking about what church or the people. We're just talking about in general. It's very few. It's very few. How many people you work with go to church? I mean, they go when you talk to them, "Hey, how was your weekend this weekend? What'd you do?" Nobody's going to church. They, Nope, didn't go to church. I was talking to some individual, and he asked me what I did last weekend. I always try to throw in the going to church thing, kind of bring up a subject. And he says, well, I go to church on Saturday night. I said, oh, okay. He goes, it's just more convenient. I mean, so we all know there's but a lot of religions that weren't practicing Saturday night services now are, because that's the only way to get people to go. Come on Saturday night. He goes, hey, we got football on Saturday. We got a big list. We got soccer. We got all this stuff. Few there be that will worship God in spirit and truth and true followers of his people. And just think about in our own religious world, just that alone. Well, what about in past times? Well, how about in the days of Noah? I won't look at the verse, but Genesis 7 and verse 13 says there was 8 people. Now, I was going to bring about a bunch of... I went on the internet before, and I even did it even this morning looking at this. The estimate about how many people were around during the flood. Now, there's no way nobody knows. But, you know, from Adam and Eve and normal births, and of course, they lived longer, so they probably had more kids and just the net population. It was a lot of people. One estimate said trillions, and I thought, oh, trillions, how would they prove that? But it was no doubt probably millions. But even if it was 1,000, it's still a lot of people, right? So think about all the people on the earth. And of course, as we read the account in Genesis, it talks about how they did evil continually. So most of the people, 99.999998 maybe, were doing evil upon the earth. And of course, there was few. Few there be. There was few then. There's few today again. But there was very few. Just Noah and his family. 8 people that were saved during that time. Now, Rob, I thought this was going to be a positive lesson. How do you get positive out of that? Well, there was 8 people that were saved. It wasn't all doom and gloom, and we'll look at that more later. But this is a lesson for us. And there's also a lesson about Noah and his family. Nothing's really said about it. But he was a preacher of righteousness, it says, for 120 years. Now, we're not living to 120 years, okay? Probably not. He was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Think about that. As he was building the ark, you know, he was out there trying to tell people what God wanted him to tell them about their sinful life, and that I'm building this ark and there's going to be a flood upon the earth. And I think back to once he warned all these people, and then he went in and the door was shut, and then it started raining. And what these people were thinking. And as the waters ascended and the ark started to ascend and the whole earth was become, it's a time of humbleness, a time of thoughtfulness for on those people that they realized what he was saying was true. And that's other lessons that we can learn from that. But my main point is, few there be. Well, what about other times? I want to turn over and read Genesis 18. Let's turn there, if you will. We're all familiar with the story, but sometimes it's good just to go back, open up your Bible, and be reminded of these things. So Genesis chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 20. Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. Now, this is an interesting verse, this next one. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that I have come to me, and if not, I will know. Now, this is kind of a side point to the whole thing, but it's interesting. He wants to go down and verify that this outcry of what these people are. Then verse 22, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, Abraham has a good heart here. He's saying, God, you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? What about the righteous? You're going to destroy them too? And I always wonder about things like that. But anyway, that aside, in verse 20, For suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. So now he's starting to say, hey, what if there's 50 in the city? Would you also destroy this place and not spare for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteousness shall be as the wicked. Far be it from you. You shall not judge of all the earth do right. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Verse 27, then Abram answered and said, indeed now I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Now I don't know if Abraham already got this tallied up and I don't know. But anyway, he says, 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, well, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there be 40 found there. For he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. So now we went from 50 to 45 to 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. He will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous. Verse 33, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Well, what happened, Rob? Well, you can go home and read it. Chapter 19, it's just going down. There wasn't 10. Now, there was Lot and his family, but there wasn't these righteous few there be. Few there be. What if God said, I will not destroy Denver, Colorado? If I can find 100, let's say. 95, 90, we don't know. But few there be. Few there be. And this is just another account, as we've seen with Noah, as we've seen here with Sodom and Gomorrah, that the Lord's people are few. Now remember that. Just put that on hold. That remember that the Lord's people have always been a few. Well, what about the children of Israel? Oh boy. Don't have enough time for that story. You can go home and read that. But we know Numbers 14. And I also was looking at, well, how many people? Now this one here, you can go into Exodus chapter 12. And you can talk about the 600,000 men. I mean, you can kind of get a number. Okay? There was a lot of people. And how many people went into the land? Well, we know Joshua and Caleb, and there was a few exceptions. I think somebody said 66 total. If you figure out that the children that weren't a part, you know, that whole, okay, but it was a few. But the point of the Bible, it says Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of the spies that went over there and came back with a report and said, we can do this. Let's go. Do you know when they left Egypt, they went right away. They went to outside the land of Canaan, across from Jordan, right away. You figure out how many days would it have taken. I forget. It wasn't going to be that long. They went from Egypt captivity, crossed the Red Sea, and right up to the border, right away. And then they did this. The few. Then what? Because of this, God made them wander for 40 years in the wilderness. A few days' journey to get from Egypt to Canaan. And if they would have just had the faith and trust in God, he would have said, go, all of you. They wandered around for 40 years. You've seen maps of it. And you think the people were, we've been here before. We're just wandering around. Well, that was their punishment. But few there be. Few there be back then that really wanted to do the right thing and had the faith and hope and trust in God. Well, on an individual level, What about Job? You ever think about Job? You know, we talked about large groups, the Israelites and the people during Noah's day, Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, here's an individual. We can look at it from an individual level. If you're ever really getting down, maybe life's getting down, just go read Job. Just go read the book of Job. You can read pretty quickly through there and see all that he went through. It pales in comparison to the things that we face. Now, I'm not saying people don't face difficulties and deaths and things like that. I'm not saying any of that. But even few of his own family. Remember his wife. Remember what was going on during that time. Few there be. Few there be. And Job was one of the few, even during that time. All the people. Come on, Job, just curse God and die. Just look at this. No, he said, I'm not going to do it. Well, as we kind of come over into the New Testament, now, well, something I wanted to mention now before I forget. There's a lot more examples. Go to the Hebrews chapter 11. Examples of faith there, and just little snippets of these people having faith. And you think back to the stories that they went through. Very few. I mean, Hebrews 11, there's not 1,000 people mentioned in there. Now, I know it's not every person ever in the Bible, and this is the only people that had faith. I understand all that. Because if you remember, at the end of chapter 11, it also talks about how many more, and it talks about how they were killed by the sword. So it talks about a lot more people, and it went on to say that it'd fill the Bible if we couldn't talk, you know, to list all these people. But the examples that we have there. Now, how about on the day of Pentecost? We're all happy, very positive. Acts 2:41, how 3,000 souls. 3,000, that's a big number, 3,000. Again, have no way of knowing how many people were there. Some say over 1 million Jews that had come to Jerusalem that time of the year. It was good. 3,000 is good. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer on that. But that was just a few. It was a few. Just a few. You know, when we look at this, what is God's desire? Now, here's the positive part of this sermon. I think it's all been positive. But because we're looking at what we're going to talk about right now. What's God's desire? Well, here's part of it. Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Well, what does that mean, Rob? Well, let's look at a few other verses. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of all men? Not just some, Rob. What about Calvinism? What about what some of the world teaches today about things? 144,000. No. We'll have all. Now, if that's not encouraging, he would have all men be saved. You mean it says few there be? He would have all men be saved. But the reality is, all men's not going to be saved. What is God's desire? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing, what? That any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Somebody might say, does that even count me, Rob? I don't know. Well, that's what it says. That's what it says. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:9? For God hath not appointed on us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the more famous and well-known verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, in case we forgot, God desires all men to be saved. All men during the flood. All men during Sodom and Gomorrah. All the Israelites. Job. All the people in Hebrews chapter 11. He wanted them all to be saved. Well, Rob, why didn't he just save them all? Well, that's all part of, remember, the straight and narrow gate. And yes, we have a loving God, and He wants us to be part of that few. Numbers are quite interesting on how we look at them. I don't know if you've thought about this, but kind of a number perspective right now. Let's look at a few verses. Let's turn over to Matthew 7, 22. We're just going to look at two quick verses. And when you're doing your daily Bible readings or your studies, stuff like this kind of jumps out at you. Because there's a huge contrast with the few and the many in the scriptures. And here's just one, Matthew 7, 22. Many, we read this during the, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Many are going to say that. And of course, we find out what he says, that he didn't know them. Depart from them. How about over in Exodus 23, just kind of looking at a numbers thing from the scriptures, that when he says there few there be, it's not a shock, because there's a contrast between the many that'll do wrong and the few that'll do right. Exodus 23, verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to prevent justice. These are just a few verses I thought of that contrast the few and the many. We know there's many that run towards evil. We have a world full of it. But think about this for a minute. How about a faithful church is many? Sometimes when you talk to somebody that's visiting about their work, and I ask them, well, how's your work? Now, I'm not getting on them about this, but I listen to them. Well, how's the work where you're at? How's the Lord's work in Texas or wherever you're at? Well, we've got about 150. Now, you know, that's good. Those are all souls. But then I say, okay, well, how's the work? See, just because you have 150 people, now they didn't mean any of this. Believe me, I'm not trying to, like, they probably thought I was asking about numbers, but I'm interested in numbers. Don't get me wrong. But some people, their ideal, a favorite church is many. You know, at Holly Street down there, it's not very faithful. There's not very many people. Let me tell you something. I'd back that truck up. I'd push back on that. Because that's not what the scriptures say. Well, how about a faithful church is few? You know, we've heard of that too. Yeah, we just have a few number down here. So that means we're faithful. See, we have this mentality with numbers. Somebody might say, well, if you're not a lot, you're not faithful. Few there be. I remind them of that. Now that doesn't, you know, 150 can be a few too, right? I mean, comparatively, we get all caught up in these numbers. I think the devil works on our mind. You know, I was a member shortly out in California, Di and I were, family. And we attended in a storefront, a little storefront. Listen, if you put all these people in that storefront, man, that's a big church. Look at that. They're coming out the seams. See what I'm talking about? It ain't the building. Oh, that's a big church. Really? Yeah, it's got huge parking lot. Okay, it's a big church building. See what I'm saying? We can get that mentality about numbers. We get fixated. Well, we're not doing very well. Now, some people have said this about Hollywood. Well, there's just a few. Amen, brother. Amen. It's what God wants. So should we have 200 and have division and have disunity and have unity and diversity and have false doctrine being taught and people divorced and remarried that are... No. Think about it when we think about numbers. Faithful church is many, faithful church is few. Do you know in all of his teaching that Jesus never emphasized numbers? Did you ever hear him say, we got to have 500 members in my church in Denver, Colorado? We don't read things like that. What do we read? Well, we read quality over quantity. You read that. There ain't no doubt about that. A quiet and meek spirit. Humble servant of his. When we're talking about few there be, I'm telling you, these things we think about. Think about it. And some of you might say, yeah, I don't know, Rob, you said this is going to be a positive sermon. You're bringing up stuff like that. No, that's to be positive because we're trying to do what... Yeah, but you know, there's just a lot of... we can just be discouraged, you know? Maybe we haven't baptized somebody in a long time. Well, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of services. Virgil had announcements. I said a few things about it. Alan's been over in Malawi for 19 years teaching people, over there teaching preachers. I mean, draw all the encouragement you can from every single thing we can. You know, was Noah discouraged? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he wasn't, because we don't know all this. But for 120 years, it didn't seem like he just kept on. How about Lot and Abraham? How about Joshua and Caleb? How about Job? How about the apostles? Were they discouraged? How about Jesus? What I'm saying is there's a mindset that we can have about numbers, and it can get us down. The devil wants us to get us down. Oh, there's only a few, Rob. There's just a few. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I don't like crowds as much. I don't know what it is. I just don't like crowds. Don't like waiting in lines. Don't like being around a lot of people. Maybe it's some kind of a phobia I have. I kind of like going to a restaurant where there's few there be. It's like, hey, great, there's only a few people here. Now, some people might like to go to this big crowd. I don't know. But that aside, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because God's people have always been a few. And that's just reality. And we want more. We're trying to teach more. We're trying to invite more. We can all get encouragement from that. But don't let the devil discourage you. There's a lot of examples. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I mean, you just think about what they went through. They got through it, though, didn't they? They didn't let it become a discouragement. Well, for our last few minutes here, let's make some application. Now, few there be what, Rob? Well, let's look at this. Now, there's going to be few there be that I'll actually study and apply the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Few. Really few. Yeah, well, you know, my wife does all the studying at home, or my kids, or my husband, or the church where I go to. Alan studies and he preaches. Ain't going to cut it. I don't want to stand before God and hear, you didn't even open that book last week. Just leave it at the building. You don't use it anyway. No. Don't you think that if we're going to be judged by this, that we got to know what's in it? Not only that, but do we really want to conform our life to it? No, I don't want to read that. Nope, I ain't reading that. Nope. Well, I come back to this about just general respect for Bible authority. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That one gets most people in religion. If you ask them, why do you have an instrument in your assembly? Why do you have potlucks and you eat in the building and do all this kind of thing? Now, these are teaching opportunities. But you know what? Few there will be that will respect the authority of the scriptures. How about godly husbands and wives? You know, few there be. Just not like it is. There's going to be few. There's going to be few. And the family and the home is being attacked at an all-time level. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you just kind of get around, talk to people. Oh boy, I'll just stop right there. I don't want to talk about it really. How about just biblical fathers, mothers, and children? There's going to be few. There's going to be few. We beat up sometimes on the fathers and the mothers. They're not doing their job. Sometimes the children. You know, it's just a big mess. Sometimes the mother and fathers do try to do their job. The children don't want to do it. Sometimes the parents aren't doing it. I mean, it's just when there's no standard in the home to start with, you're going to have disaster. Whenever there's a decision made in a home, fathers ought to say, this is what God's will teaches, and this is why we're doing it. Don't be afraid to say that, because you know what? Few there be, very few there be that's going to do those things. How about just a general care for others and the lost? Philippians 2:16. You know, I've talked about whenever I prepare a sermon, I just beat myself up. I'm like, what points can I make? Well, what points do I need made? And if it hits other people, it hits other people. But like this week, now let's just get personal here. Because few there be, okay, that are going to do this. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of God. It's our, now how many people this week, now if you said I'm retired, I'm locked up in my home, and I don't go out, you probably do. But anyway, as opportunity arises, I'm not going to talk about your opportunity. But I say to myself, now how many people this week did I share the gospel with? It might be handing them a visitor's card or a business card, handing them a tract. Jack's talked about tracts, talking about our website. I think you can honestly tell your spirituality level by how much you care about others. If anybody wants to argue with me about that, go on ahead. That's what the scriptures teach. Our concern for others. Oh, but they won't listen, Rob. Listen, that ain't our job. The listening, that's their job. It's their ears. And I'm not saying you got to be a browbeater at work and you got to go around on the corner. No. But I think there's a lot of opportunities we miss. I miss. Hands raised. It's part of the gospel. And few there be. These people are figuratively drowning in sin. And we have the life preserver. We can throw it to them. If you've seen somebody drowning, would you throw them a life preserver? If you had one, or you jump in after them? Yeah, I would, Rob. Well, they're drowning in something a lot more worse. Their spiritual sin. Think about it. I don't want to be part of the few that gets all wrapped up in what I have to do and the things of my life. Care about people. It makes yourself feel better. It's better to give than receive. I believe that 100-fold. Try to do and help out. Well, how about active members? There's going to be a few of these active members in the local church we talked about earlier. Just want to be involved. Just not punching my ticket. Rob, it's a time clock. I punch it at 9:30 Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night, Wednesday night at 7:30. Listen, that's just a small part of what we're to be. It's important. Don't get me wrong. Hebrews 10:24-25. What do those verses say? About attending, about being a part. Life is more than just living here and enjoying the things of this life. God wants us to. But we're on a greater mission here for the Lord. We're working here. And you know what? There's going to be very, very few, and I hate to say this, even in the Lord's church, very few that really want to do and be an active member, care for others, be a godly mother and father, husband, wife. Well, how about this one? This one kind of hits you right between the eyes sometimes. Well, what's Ephesians 5:11 say? Well, look that up yourself. We're standing for the truth. There's opportunities when there's error. The meek and gentlest you possibly can. But you might say, the scriptures don't teach that. I'd encourage you to read that. Few there be. We might do everything else, but this is when the tread hits the pavement right here. Standing for the truth. You might have to stand for the truth against your own family. You might have to stand against your own boss at work. Oh, I wouldn't do that, Rob. I'd lose my job. I can't provide for my family. Now, use some discretion. I'm not wanting to get fired over that. But sometimes we might have to tell our boss, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in gambling. I don't believe in drinking. I go to church on Sunday. That's what I believe. Take a stand. Take a stand. Because you know what? Few there will be. As we close, let's look at this verse. Luke 13. Somewhere along the same lines. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? They're asking him, are there few to be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drinking in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I don't want to be part of that day to hear those words. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Do you know we have control of that right now? Some people say, I don't know, Rob. I don't know if I'm saved. We can know. Absolutely, we can know. Somebody says, I'm just going to wait till judgment. I don't want to wait till judgment to find out. Now, that some might think that's arrogant. But when he says, you can know assuredly, that language, we can know. Are we one of the few? And the question is, will you be one of the few? Will you be one of the few? I mean, it's a few. Over the course of millions and billions of people. Will you be one of the few? Few there be. He told us from the very beginning, few. Now what's interesting, and this is about as far as I go with the providence of God, that he knew who the few were before the foundations of the earth. He knows whether or not you and I are going to be saved. But he's not like, we're not like a mouse or a remote control. He knows. But we can do, with his grace and mercy, we can be one of the few. So don't become discouraged. Now, like I said, this is a positive sermon. This is positive from the sense that we can be one of the few and that God cares enough about us to be one of the few. Because you know what? The world does not care to be one of the few. They don't care. But God's people care, and they want to be one of the few. They want to be one of the few. And think about your particular situation in life. You ever thought and prayed to God, I am so thankful that I've come in contact with the truth, and I know the truth, and I want to be one of those few. Because a lot of people, when they read those scriptures, they just kind of gloss over them or think, well, we're all saved, aren't we? No, that's not what it says. It says, few there be. It's difficult. It's difficult. Somebody says, being a life of a Christian is the easiest thing you can do. No, it's not. Now, it may be easier for you now. Maybe you've been practicing. But remember, the devil is going to use every tool he can get. And whether he gets you when you're 16 or you're 68 or 86 or 96, he doesn't care. Because he wants you. He wants you to be one of his few, or his many, rather. What about you this morning? Each and every one of us have a responsibility to the Word, to God. And each and every one of us are given an opportunity. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't obeyed the initial commandments to become a Christian, God's plan of salvation, repent, believe, confess, and be baptized, live a faithful life. Or maybe you need to recalibrate and say, you know what, I really haven't had the mentality that I want to be part of the few. The devil's kind of, I'm selfish, I'm worried about my own things in life. Stop that. Be one of the few. Because you know what? The only way we can do it is nothing of our own strength. It's through God and through his word. And we can be one of the few that overcomes this world and overcomes the things in this world. And we can be part of the few that will be saved. Because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And the sad thing is that we have an opportunity today to be one of the few. And we don't want to stand in judgment with a life of regret saying, you know, I had a chance to be part of the few and I chose not to. Because it's going to be your choice. Absolutely. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.